I wanted to give big updates on Trump's speech last week about communist China that you and I have been detailing for years. The documents have come out, but even more, you have federal court documents that they've told you not to release, but you're going to do that.
There's a dirty Venezuelan software package that lets you steal elections. It was in Smartmatic, where it was called SAES, Smartmatic Automated Election System. They bought an American company called Sequoia, and they put it inside Sequoia, where it was called WinEDS. That dirty package got shifted, and it's actually inside Dominion. They call their system Democracy Suite. They've been denying like hell that they have WinEDS. I'm going to prove to you that it is in their system. What's happened now is Liberty has come along. Actually, Liberty is just a new name on Dominion. It's the same corporation. So that dirty package is still inside. Trump released this last Thursday night, the CIA document, summary of their own intelligence reporting, 04 to 20. Document 2, they talk about how they have had persistent concerns that Venezuela was developing systems to cheat elections. Well, they did, in fact, develop that software, and it was the WinEDS that I just walked you through. They are acknowledging that, yes, Venezuela developed this, and they've been stealing or trying to steal their own elections with it. Let's go to an internal Dominion email, which I'm not supposed to show anyone. This is from 2011. A guy named Craig Short, contractor for Dominion, is talking to Sherry Hadsky. You're going to see in a moment, she's the secretary with the Secretary of State of Louisiana. This is all about the WinEDS upgrade. Now, remember, you're going to see Dominion's come out and say, we don't have WinEDS. No, we never got. That's all some junk from the past. But meanwhile, their internal emails, they're talking about upgrading their system. She says, hey, confidentially, if Democracy Suites, if this runs on Windows 7 and this WinEDS runs on Windows 2003, don't we need two servers? So she knew, and Dominion knew, that they were in fact still using WinEDS. And the guy confirms, yes, that we're going to need two servers. This is an email from Eric Coomer in 2020. He's running the elections in Chicago. He's writing a guy, Goran Obradovic, who's in Serbia. They're talking about setting up servers to process ballots as they come in. So this is a few days before the election. He says, 30 minutes, 12,000 ballots. We may have some timing problems. We can set up the cartridges to load overnight as they come in scare quotes, and then as they come in, meaning we're going to be uploading them, but pretending that these are ballots coming in from the field. We can then load them into the WinEDS. So here's Eric Coomer, the CTO of Dominion, acknowledging that WinEDS is being used in their system. He swore up, down, and sideways since then, as is Dominion, and he's saying our good Dominion machines don't have any of that WinEDS package in them. Here's a guy, Edmundo Rojas. You look on his LinkedIn, he's at Dominion Voting Systems, but he's also under contract as a senior product specialist to Liberty Vote.
Yeah, so they're rebranded. Don't worry, Republicans own it now. Everything's fine.
But here's another Dominion voting guy, again, writing to Coomer, establishing VPN connection into the virtual machines today to reach the county's electronic voting machines. And on the next page, our tablet arrives in Shanghai Customs. We're waiting for clearance. So the tablets you're voting on are actually going through Shanghai Customs, where China gets to edit them. This is all under what's Liberty Vote. Chinese-made equipment with Venezuelans who are all in our system, the Venezuelans here in the U.S. who are now working for Liberty Vote. You trace these Venezuelans back to the same university through Smartmatic and Sequoia, and now they're in different places running our elections in the United States.
The multinational corporate intelligence conglomerates.
Chinese, Iranian, Venezuelan, they're all in on it. It's one constellation of bad actors.
And it's the Democrats and the CIA, as you pointed out, contract people that hate us to do it, so they have plausible deniability. Oh, as they come in,
you get what's going on.
So we preload the results before they come in.
What they really do is when they set up a Dominion server for some county, they set up next to it a second machine. That is the WinEDS machine. They run the election on this machine. All this stuff gets in. And what they're not telling anyone is it goes from the Dominion machine to this EDS dirty machine and then gets reported into the election reporting system. So before the results go from the county to the legitimate election reporting system, they're run through this WinEDS dirty Venezuelan software. They and only they even know it exists.
Let's add some personality to this frog. Little red right here for some lipstick. Just a few gentle strokes. There we go. A perfect little touch.
seconds. Has your water been acting a little suspicious lately? Does it taste like it took a wrong turn through a garden hose on the way to your kitchen? Well, don't panic. Introducing the dual carbon gravity water filter.
Gee whiz, it sparkles like diamonds in the sunshine. No more of that yucky, murky tap stuff that tastes like it came straight from the old rusty pipes.
This water is so good.
It's the best ever.
I'm so glad. Fresh water is important.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Drink up.
We will.
Wow, that sure is a fine-looking water filter.
You know I'd never do you wrong, Lucy. This is top of the line, I tell ya.
Oh, I believe you.
Just you wait and see. I just know Ricky will love it.
I can't wait till he gets home.
He'll be so impressed.
Hi, honey. I'm home.
Come in the kitchen, dear. I want to show you something.
Oh, boy, that tastes great. You can always trust good old Alex.
Another satisfied customer.
And then 5 days ago, she wrote an open letter to Donald Trump on her Substack account saying, please don't run for president again.
I think people know that if Trump does throw his hat in the ring, as he's expected to do, that chaos is back. And we've had enough. I mean, people are exhausted.
Why is Tafoya going so far as to say, don't run, Trump?
There are so many things going on that people want some leadership without that kind of baggage, without that kind of tumult. I hear it a lot from people I know who voted for Trump who just don't want to see him back now. They want something a little closer to normal. I think people want sanity. I think people want to breathe normally again. I think people see the writing on the wall.
And this just isn't Tafoya. 3 days ago on Fox, a tweet about calls for Trump to delay his announcement. The Hill published a story saying the party is worried that Trump announcing will backfire.
We know where they are. It's this, again, these are the lies we tell ourselves. They're in the shadows. We don't know where to find them. It's too hard to get them. We know exactly where they are. You mean to tell me that CENTCOM can put a heat-guided beast and we don't know where 20 million people are in our own country? Well, it says one of two things. Either we have a problem with CENTCOM. I just think people are lying. They know exactly where these people are. They know exactly where they are. They gave them credit cards and cell phones. They're giving them free health care. They're giving them education. They're letting them in. They're in the schools. We know where they are. They're registering their kids to go to school.
I'm not saying we don't know where they are. I'm saying they're on somebody's business model. They're in the business model.
If we know
right
where
now.
They are, then they need to go. That's it. If you're for, again, I'll say it again. If you're not for mass deportations, you are for amnesty.
That's how you get a radical left of secular humanists and scientists and all these other people who are anti-Christian and anti-American. They continue to pull the Overton window over to the left, and all these center-right, middle-of-the-road, moderate Republicans talk about electability, and they cling on to that Overton window because they want to be liked. And they come right out and say it. If you listen to MSNBC, even Fox News on the right night, they'll say, the international rules-based order. When you hear the international rules-based order, you know you're talking to traitors. Yes. Understand it, and I'm dead serious about it. When you hear the phrase international rules-based order, you know you're talking to subversives. Why should American citizens, the American working class, have to pay for the security of the whole world? I'll tell you why you pay. You pay because you want the security. You want it. They lie to you. They give you a false sense of security in exchange for all of your money. And it is a false sense of security because look where we are. After 60 years of an international rules-based order, we handed the world's financial capital to a transgender jihadist. And that's what Mom Donnie is. He's a transgender activist and he's a jihadist. Let's call them what they are. He's a transgender jihadist. Because he hasn't changed his gender yet, but by his rules and standards, he could wake up tomorrow and I'm Mom Donna Leah. Right? And I say it jokingly, but it's so serious. We've given up our security, and it's a false sense of security. Let me tell you how it really works. You live in a reverse vassal empire. Throughout history, there have been vassal empires. The way a vassal empire works is the bigger kingdom takes tribute from the little kingdom or village or town or fiefdom or whatever the case may be in exchange for protection. If you run into trouble with another kingdom or a band of marauders, you send us a message and then we'll send aid, right? Vassal state, vassal empire. Everybody familiar with that? We live in a reverse vassal empire. We pay everybody else to protect them.
Welcome to the Alex Jones Show here on Sunday Night Live, the Alex Jones Network. I'm your guest host, Royce White, here in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. And I'm back with you after 2 weekends of being gone. It's a great honor and pleasure to be back with you this evening. So much to talk about. So much time to talk about it. Yeah, 2 hours. You got me for the next 2 hours here, and we're going to use every last second of it because there's a lot to talk about. I'm going full throttle today, so strap in. I was sick earlier in the week. I had the lettuce bug or the lettuce flu or the vegetable bug or whatever the stomach virus is going around. Stomach flu. Very rarely do I get sick. I do a lot of fast, and I think that's why I rarely get sick anymore. I used to get sick at least 2-3 times a year. Cold here, cold there, stuff like that. But ever since I started fasting regularly, I haven't been getting sick as much. And that's because, you know, the body is a hospital. You turn it on by fasting, right? The Bible tells us that much. But this stomach bug definitely knocked me on my rear end, and it was rough tumble. You know, it's just the latest experimental biological attack on the American people. Who cares? I mean, we modify some mosquitoes there in the Everglades. We put some spike protein in your produce or in your meat there, in the heartland, the corn, whatever. I mean, it's just all over the place. We got to roll with the punches on that front because we're nowhere near getting that national security threat contained. As I was saying there in the cold open, it's a false sense of security. You've traded your tax money for this delusional security state or security guarantee from your federal government mostly, but then from this international conglomerate, as Alex Jones was saying before we switched over here, this international corporate conglomerate, you traded all your tax money, sovereignty, freedom, all these other things over for this false sense of security from this international corporate conglomerate. And what do you get? You get food packaged at the local grocery store. You don't even know if it's killing you or not. I mean, in most cases, it is killing a lot of people. More people would die if it wasn't for how genius God's design is of the human body. More people will be dropping like flies. I bet you these deep state mad scientists are actually often surprised by how many people don't die from the Kevorkian experiments that they try on us. I bet there's a heavy level of resent all of the experiments they try on the human body, and yet we're so resilient. Why? Because God is much smarter than your average scientific psycho. That being said, I'm back up and moving a little slow, and I've got my electrolytes here and whatnot, but we're going to get into it tonight. And if I pass out, right, if I pass out live on air, because I get too worked up, glory be to God. All right, we're going full throttle tonight. Number one, if you don't support mass deportations, you are for amnesty. We should make a song out of it. Foreign invaders, foreign invaders, foreign invaders. Deport every one of these foreign invaders. If you're not for mass deportations, you're for amnesty. If you're not for mass deportations, you're for amnesty, right? We should just make a little corny jingle out of it. It's really that simple. If you're not for mass deportations, by definition, you are for amnesty because we can't let any of these people stay here. None of them, not a single one, especially
especially, but not limited to, Joe Biden's foreign invaders. You got to call them Joe Biden's foreign invaders, like they're part of the team he recruited, because they were recruited and enlisted to invade our country under his watch. Now, if you want to get technical, you could call them Obama's invaders. I know, I got you. Okay. You can call them Democrat invaders. You can call them globalist invaders. You can call them Jewish invaders. You can call them, you know, whatever you want to call them. Call them it. Hey. They're foreign. They're invaders. They have to go. Simple, simple, simple. Now, why do I start there? In Minnesota, the recent headlines is this controversy about the great Mike Lindell, who is an American patriot, and I put his medal against anybody in this audience any day of the week. Any day of the week. Put Mike Lindell's patriotic resume up against yours any day of the week, and there ain't a handful of people in this audience who can say they've done more for this country than he has. Now, with that being said, let me just say some things about the great Mike Lindell. Mike Lindell is honest to a fault. He's genuine to a fault. He's not a politician. He's not a carefully curated and polished politician. He's a man who's been to the bottom, survived, was saved, came back, created a successful business. And then in the twilight of his life decided, you know what, I'm just going to throw it all on the line so we can have secure elections. And a lot of you conservative rhinos, especially in the Minnesota Republican establishment, never liked Mike Lindell the same way you've never liked President Trump. And it's not from the right. Your criticism of President Trump and Mike Lindell or the MAGA movement, or Christians, conservatives, whatever the case may be, whatever you want to call it. Your criticism ain't coming from the right of those folks. It's coming from the left. And if I say accurately, the center left. Oh, yeah, we got a lot of center left Republicans in the state of Minnesota. And the Mike Lindell controversy is a great example. See, because they all want people to believe that Mike Lindell's kerfuffle. Is that the right word? The kerfuffle. The kerfuffle of Mike Lindell's proposal that effectively did suggest amnesty. Now, you know, if he really meant it, if it was written by him, the document was fully written by him, if he's completely vetted the whole thing out, all of that's, you know, that's another issue. But essentially, it did float amnesty for 6 months. And sorry, Mike, you know I love you. You know I love you. You know I support him. And here's the thing. Still has my unwavering support for governor because I know the rest of these people. In fact, I'm one of the people who, behind the scenes, begged Mike Lindell to run for governor. Is it because I think we're going to have secure elections in, I don't know, 20 days or so? We got a primary coming up on August 11th? No. Is it because I think we're going to have secure elections in November? No. It's because this movement, this time in our nation's history, is just as much about the political narrative and the momentum of the zeitgeist as it is the results of rigged and stolen elections. And Mike Lindell is the best person positioned to hold the right in Minnesota, which is the cultural epicenter of American politics, hold the Republican Party as the top of the ticket. Now, a lot of people would say, well, United States Senator, you're higher on the ticket than Mike Lindell, technically. And I defer to Mike. I defer to Mike and I defer to the governor in that hierarchy for the same reason that I decided that I didn't want to run for governor. Because at the time when I had to make that decision, I wasn't 35 yet. And I just don't think somebody who's not 35 should be the governor of a state. The same way I don't think somebody who's not 35 should be the president. It's not the law, but it's my personal opinion. All right. I still have a little, a few immaturity kinks to work out of my system. We need it in the Senate, though. Oh, we need some knockdown, drag out cutthroats in that United States Senate, the House, too, by the way. But regardless, I defer to Mike Lindell a lot because, one, he sacrificed more than I ever could imagine, more than I ever have, for sure. But, two, he's such a genuine person. And if you know Mike, if you've ever met him, he is such a genuine person. He and I disagree 100% on his proposal or the proposal that was put out there. Because I'm a mass deportations guy. Every last one, every foreign invader that came in under the Joe Biden administration must be tracked, must be found, must be detained, must be deported. Kids and everybody, all of them. You got a problem with, you know, what was his name? I forgot his little name. Was Lil Houlihan? What was his name? Little Leland or whatever. They kept showing this picture or whatever. You know what? I feel for all the kids all over the world. But your people came here legally, little buddy. And so you're going to have to go back with your parents. Get your parents. Get your bags packed. You guys get your stuff. Get your affairs in order. And you guys are going to be going back. That's just it. I'm sorry to say it. We cannot let this nation die through suicidal empathy. And to think that this nation has no carrying capacity is so naive and arrogant. It should be discrediting to anybody who says it. We can take as many people as the left. They know how many people they know we can't take any more people. We can't take any more people. We can't pay Social Security to the people we got. We cannot pay promised economic benefits, promised, committed economic benefits to the people we already have. And you're going to try and convince us that bringing in the world's downtrodden is going to help us meet the demand or square the circle for our own American citizens and prosperity? So no amnesty, mass deportations. But none of these other governors. Let me name names. I'm going off tonight, so strap in. I told you all I'm going there. We're naming names. Okay, because it pisses me. One thing about me is if we're friends and we go into battle together, I got your back. I mean, we win, lose, or draw. Now, if you cross a line of my sacred honor, right, if you like come to, we're friends, and you come to me and you say, hey, you know, there's this ritual we do where we kill little children as a satanic offering. Okay, then I might have to shoot you in the head right then and there, because that's too far, even for friends and you know, people who are together in a fight, in a movement, in a party, whatever the case may be. Too far, we got to shoot you in the head. But there are times where your friends may get things wrong for whatever reason. Maybe they just had a bad day, stomach bug like I had earlier in the week. And they say something they didn't fully understand or didn't necessarily mean, didn't necessarily understand the implications of. And I feel this way about Mike Lindell right now. I got his back because I know his heart. He's genuine. And if there's one person in the state of Minnesota running for office who I believe will see something and see the what's right and wrong and change course if necessary, it's Mike Lindell. The rest of these people I know, and we're going to name names. We're going to start right now. Let's start with the four sitting Republican Congress members here in Minnesota. Four sitting Republican Congress members. Michelle Fischbach, Brad Finstad, Pete Stauber, Tom Emmer. I've been campaigning in Minnesota for 5.5 years, since early 2021, when President Trump didn't have an ally or two to rub together, okay? When everybody had abandoned ship after January 6th, and you had the Mike Pences of the world and all the other Fox News Trotskyites say, oh, this was an insurrection. This was the darkest day in our nation's history. A bunch of sackless wonders. This is the darkest day in American history. Shut your mouth, you stupid gay commie. It's not the darkest day in history, in recent history, let alone the nation's history. Give me a break. Okay. In those days, crazy as I am, I decided to join the movement. I look at the people there January 6th and I go, at least these people have the balls to actually go up to the front door of power. I don't know what the rest of everybody else is thinking. I'm crazy like that though, right? Conspiracy theories. Anyway, in those days until now, I've been running for office here in the great state of Minnesota, 32nd State of the Union, and I haven't heard one of our sitting Republican Congress members use the term mass deportations once. Not once have one of our four sitting Republican Congress members used the term mass deportations at a Republican Party event, and I go to all of them. I've certainly heard Tom Emmer come in and say, we will stand with Israel forever. But I've never heard him use the term mass deportations. Not once at a public event. I'm not saying he may have not floated it on X or he may have not said it in some speech. I'm saying when we're behind closed doors as the Republican Party and we're talking about the organizing principles of our party in Minnesota, I have never heard one of our sitting four Republican Congress members use the term mass deportations. Let's go on down the line. Republican stalwarts in the state of Minnesota, like Norm Coleman, former U.S. Senator Norm Coleman, former U.S. Senator Rudy Boschwitz, Israel Firsters to boot, former governor, Republican governor Tim Pawlenty, the last Republican governor we had, never heard them use the term mass deportations at a Republican Party event. Not once. Mike Lindell's current governor opponents, Lisa DeMuth, Kendall Qualls, been on the campaign trail with them for over a year and a half now. I've never heard them use the term mass deportations. Our current party chair, Alex Plekish, our former party chair, David Hand, never heard them use the term mass deportations. In fact, let me tell you how broken the conservative culture is in the state of Minnesota. There was a man, and you can go look this up right now on X if you're watching live or whatever the case may be. You got the ability to, you know, dual window this deal. You can go look up this name. Chris Maddle was his name. And when this race first started, when the 2026 midterm election cycle first started, he had his hat in the ring to be governor. He was a governor candidate. And so we went to these early BPOU meetings and they had these straw polls, right, where the delegates of State Central Committee, and these are things you may not know if you're not a Republican Party officer, insider, candidate, but regardless, they had these BPOUs, your basic political operating unit, which most of you in this audience should go and join so we don't get rhinos voting for endorsements in your Republican Party. But anyway, so they had these straw polls. And this was the weekend. This was like the week or the weekend Mike Lindell actually decided to get into the race. And again, I lobbied on him hard to get into the race. We have to hold the right in this state, regardless of if we can get the election secure or not. You are the most famous figure in the MAGA movement in the state of Minnesota. And this great state needs you. This great state needs you to represent the Republican Party as a genuine MAGA person, MAGA voice. Yeah, because I can't do it alone. And again, I'm the only one on the campaign trail in Minnesota on the Republican side that says mass deportations. Go look it up. I don't believe me. Go and look it up. Go look at these other people's websites, social media, their video messages and announcements, and tell me which one of them used the term mass deportations with any consistency or any emphasis. They don't. So anyway, let me tell you how bad it actually gets. This guy, Chris Maddle, at the State Central Committee, got like 100-something votes in the governor straw poll. Like 100-something votes. Okay? He was third on the list. I think Mike Lindell either came in fourth right behind him or might have been second. But this guy, Chris Maddle, was high up there in the straw poll results. Only to a few short weeks later, just a few short weeks later, put this mea culpa out on social media about how he can't in good conscience run as a candidate for the Republican Party if ICE is going to stop Mexican people because of the color of their skin. Does that not tell you everything you need to know about the state of play for the conservative culture in the great state of Minnesota? These people are not hardcore conservatives on anything. How do you know? They didn't conserve anything. That's how you know. We'll be right back. We're the Alex Jones Show, Sunday Night Live. I'm your guest host, Royce White. Stay tuned. We'll be right back in a moment.
Is a massive sale going on right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Huge. Ultimate summer sale. 50% off Ultimate Power, Freedom, Mango, and Patriot Punch. If you loved Turbo Force 10-Hour Clean Energy, this is basically the same formula, but even stronger with some other ingredients added that make it even better. Time released with all of the key minerals and vitamins and cofactors. It is incredible. Methylene Red Capsules. This is a proprietary product that goes with methylene blue, but by itself supercharges your cells and your whole body as a stimulant, but doesn't feel like one with no letdown. It would take an hour to get into Ultra Methylene Red. The capsules are now in Ultimate Methylene Red. I should spend 5 minutes just telling you what this does. Go read the ingredients, ask ChatGPT or Grok about it. Ask them what these things will do for you. In fact, I did this with the Bethlehem Row when it came out 6 months ago. I want to do that again and just show you what it says about it. I mean, this is high-end stuff at a low price. You can get it for 50% off right now. Methylene Red Capsules, introducing those. Mind-fueled nootropic energy shots, all 50% off. 40% off zeolite tincture, detoxify, go up for spike protein, and it's good for your whole body getting heavy metals out. Methylene Blue tincture, 40% off. CMOS gummies, 40% off. Shilajit gummies, 40% off. Methylene Blue gummies, 40% off. Ultimate Chill, which is the kava and all the rest of it. You'll be totally calm, but also focused. That goes great with Ultimate Energy. You stack them. And a whole bunch of other big discounts as well. 30% off all apparel. Most of the apparel has like a 75% markup. If it's a small, it costs less, so it's 100%. When you buy like an XXL, it's less than 100% markup. It's like 75%. So when you have 30% off on the apparel, we're making like $5 on it. The widest selection of Patriot shirts of every different design, configuration, it is the widest selection. It's over 800 different shirts. It's ridiculous. The new line that I designed is, I think, pretty good. Rebel scum since 1776. The Betsy Ross flag, less 1984, more 1776 in muscle shirts. A whole bunch of other really cool stuff now at thealexjonesstore.com. I love this lightweight, so-called dress shirt, but it's a very special type of shirt from a great manufacturer. It's super lightweight, amazing. We now have the boxer shorts, and they're not boxer like underwear. You know, the classic boxer shorts that aren't long and aren't short. They're just kind of medium. They're my favorite type. I picked these out. I picked the brand. I said, this is the type of short I like. And it's you know, what everybody I see wears at the gym. I mean, it's just that they're great. And it's got a ring of stars with 1776 on the right hip. Very clean, very nice. We're adding a lot of new apparel at thealexjonesstore.com. And every order right now, and it's about to end in the next few days, gets a free mystery t-shirt. You just put your size in, you get a free mystery t-shirt with every order that's $29 or more at thealexjonesstore.com. That is a hell of a deal right now. We have all these pure Americana beauties. We've got the new white trash collection that we should pull up and show people. That's what I'm calling it, because I always see truckers and stuff wearing it. I mean that affectionately. But it's, you know, a beautiful Daisy Duke or beautiful blonde, beautiful brunette, you know, with 1776 across it, Texas flag, rebel flags, American flags, Gadsden flags. We got a whole bunch of these Texas Rebel limited edition vintage style t-shirt. I love it. These are obnoxious. If you're going to go big. There's a whole line of those bad boys with the beautiful ladies on them right now at thealexjonesstore.com. We have the very best shower filters with the highest ratings, cutting out the most garbage at the lowest price. We've got the silver collectible 250-year anniversary with the amazing, my favorite cross, Jerusalem cross. Those are going to be gone soon. Thealexjonesstore.com. And you stand with us, and you know that all the great work we're doing is because of you. You are the reason we're here. You are the InfoWar. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Welcome back to The Alex Jones Show here on The Alex Jones Network, Sunday Night Live. I'm your guest host, Royce White, here in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. And we were just talking about the Mike Lindell controversy again. It goes without saying, mass deportations, full stop. Full send. Mass deportations, full send. Not full stop. But with that being said, I went through and I listed all the names of these prominent Minnesota Republicans, some of them running in office this cycle, some of them running against Mike Lindell. None of these people are hardcore on deportations. None of them are hardcore on immigration enforcement. None of them. No, and all you have to do is go check out their social media. This ain't hidden. Go to Lisa DeMuth's ex, go to Kendall Qualls' ex, and search their tweets, which you can do easily. There's a little search button right there in the top right-hand corner. Go and search their tweets. Type in mass deportations. You'll come up with zero. Because they do not believe in mass deportations, which, as I stated earlier, means they are for amnesty. Everybody has to understand that. If you're not for mass deportations, you are for amnesty. But it's a symptom of a bigger crisis, especially here in Minnesota. And it's what I've been saying to you for like the past year since I've been guest hosting on Sundays. I've been saying, and I come and I'm very critical of us. I mean, I'm very critical, you know, I'm critical of you and the audience. Now, if it doesn't apply to you, it's like every great basketball, football coach, every good leader, every good parent, military, general, or whatever. If it doesn't apply to you, it doesn't apply to you. But if it applies to you, you know it applies to you. We haven't had enough yet. Things haven't gotten bad enough. We're still soft. I mean, we're uber soft. We are so soft, it's scary. The people who we let live, I mean, in what world? And just look at our Congress. Look at our Congress, look at our Senate. The kind of people that we like running this country is embarrassing in and of itself. And I mean the prototype. Like, when you look at these people, you can tell that they're not hard people. They're not gritty, tough nose, you know, pipe hitters. You can just look at them. Even some of the ones I like, I look and I go, I don't know if I want to be in a foxhole with that guy. A little squishy, a little soft around the edges, a little light in his loafers. I'm just being real with you guys. Go ahead, take a look. I mean, even if you want to pull it up there in the studio, just start scrolling the Congress, just on the face value. And I know I'll never judge a book by its cover. Well, you know, in the sports world, we do a lot of judging other books by their cover. And we love our sports. We can't get enough. In fact, we love our sports so much we can't get enough of sports to the point where it consumes all our time to deal with being citizens and the value of citizenship. So if we're going to have an obsessive sports culture, the least we could do is mirror our emphasis, our what we admire, what we revere about our athletes onto our leaders. At least, you know, at least, at the very least, we could start electing some people who are tough enough to walk and chew bubblegum at the same time with some style. But no, we don't want to do that. We actually voted in Mitch McConnell. Mitch McConnell wasn't a hitter when he was young, let alone now. I'm just being real with you guys. We have two diametrically opposed cultures in America. We have the culture where we love the hyper-skilled, hyper-competent, in some cases super wealthy, physically gifted, naturally physically gifted, talented man, alpha male. And then we have this completely alternate universe where we elect the Mom Donnies who have limp wrists. Yeah, blow it up there. Let's get a close-up on some of these folks. See in the studio there, they've pulled up some of our illustrious elected officials. I mean, just on face value. I see that's a Raphael Warnock. No, skip the Democrats. Let's go over to the Republicans. Yeah, let's go over there. Zoom in on some of these folks. Is that Tim Scott I see up there? Go zoom in on Tim Scott specifically. Is this the Senate? I think this is the, well, just look at these folks. Go ahead at the audience. Do these people look like they're going to defend your liberties? Do they look like they are going to hold the line for a dying nation? The answer is obvious. The answer is, with all due respect to everybody, the answer is obvious. These people are not going to hold the line. That's why they haven't held the line. What more do you need to see? At what point do you go, you know what? All right, we've seen this prototype before. We're not voting for these people again. No, I'm not even voting for the type. You, the Chris Maddows, who have successful legal resume, right? And some of you probably saw him. He was on Fox News or, you know, he was, fighting some legal battles and whatnot. And I get, you know, people do their deal. But in this nation's darkest hour, and like I said back when it happened with the whole ICE controversy, that was our nation's new darkest hour. The darkest hour before that was in 2024 when Michelle Tafoya begged President Trump not to run. And we had a bunch of Republicans like, what's his name? Bill Kristol. Yeah, yeah. And McCain and some other folks who threw in with the communists, right? That was our nation's darkest hour. And then once we won the election, President Trump won the election, and we had the entire country rebel, a significant portion of people on the left rebel against the 2024 victory by saying we should let in unlimited illegals. That was the darkest moment in our nation's history. And in that moment, one of our Minnesota Republican governor candidates, who's an officer of the court, by the way, backed out of the entire governor race because he couldn't possibly represent the Republican Party if ICE is going to stop Mexicans or Latinos or Hispanics based on their color. Excuse me, sir. You're looking at a man whose grandmother immigrated to this country from Aguascalientes, Mexico. I'm here to tell you, people who come from Aguascalientes, Mexico, they look a certain way, respectfully. Go figure. Go figure Joe Biden lets in 20 million foreign invaders, most of which come from a particular place in the world that has a proximity to the equator, which means they get a certain amount of sun, certain habitat, certain diet, certain genetic evolution in that area over a number of generations. And my God, they tend to look similar or have similar pigmentation. Go figure that we'd be looking for people who look a certain way. It's like if the Chinese decided to invade America, you know, the Red Dawn scenario, it wouldn't be hard to spot them. I'm just saying, what kind of sick game are we playing here that the ICE initiative, the ICE enforcement, wouldn't involve what they would call racial profiling? It's not racial profiling. It's visual pattern recognition. It's visual characteristics. You look Hispanic. Did you come from a Hispanic country? Let us see your papers. You come from Antarctica. Don't get me started on Antarctica. We'll save Antarctica for next Sunday. All right. But, you know, you didn't come from Antarctica. You didn't come from the North Pole. You didn't come from the Siberian Peninsula. You didn't come from Africa. Some of them came from Africa. And hey, you look African. Are you African? Which country did you come from exactly in Africa? Are you a citizen? Okay. I mean, if you look Jewish, and there are Jewish people who look Jewish. Some Jewish people have a Jewish look. Okay. Did you come from Israel? Okay. I mean, it is what it is. Did we have massive amounts of illegal Israelis pouring into our country during the Joe Biden administration? Did we have massive amounts of Eastern European? Actually, there were probably more Eastern Europeans than we realized. But for the most part, we know where these people came from. Don't play the race game. Don't play the race game. I mean, yeah, we're going to get rid of dual citizenship. And yeah, we need to stop letting all these Europeans, you know, immigrate. We need a moratorium on immigration. Let's just put it out. Let's start with that. 20 to 25 year moratorium on all immigration. So there's that. I don't think we should be creating preferential. I don't trust any of these people coming from anywhere in the world, to be honest. And call me you're an isolationist. We need to have allies in the world. Oh, shut your mouth, you stupid gay commie. What we need to do is get our house in order. That's what we need to do. But don't tell us it's racist, Mr. Maddow, former Republican Party Minnesota governor candidate, who dropped out in the middle of the ICE controversy because he couldn't possibly let his daughters see him represent a party who racially profiles undocumented immigrants or American citizens, for that matter. See, and Joe Biden exposed it to this. People got to realize the sequence of events. Sure, it's not pleasant when a foreign invasion happens from a particular part of the world and they tend to look similar, you know, to a degree similar. And now we have to comb the entire country of people who may be citizens and may not be. And do you really think it's by accident that Joe Biden and the globalists allowed a foreign invasion in at the peak of when they want to stoke racial division? You really think it's by accident? No, they knew what the result would be. The result would be, in order to get these foreign invaders out, you have to subject American citizens to being profiled based on how they look. And that just feeds their racism narrative, their racial division. Too bad. Too bad. I know it's hard for some people to swallow that pill, but get you a glass of water, okay? Too bad. Too bad. We're going to have to comb this country and profile some folks because a president of the United States and his deep state collaborators decided to let foreign invaders into this country, and they all look a certain way. They didn't come in here, you know, they don't live with masks. They don't live with some type of skin transplant where they look gray like the extraterrestrials we're all obsessed with now and whatnot. So they look a certain way. And it's the same with black on black crime. It's like, I can tell you this from the neighborhood. If I'm walking through the neighborhood, this is me. This is me talking. I come from the hood. If I'm walking through the hood, and I see a white person in the hood, my first thought is, damn, you walking around this neighborhood like you don't know it's dangerous. That's the first thing. When black people who come from the hood are driving in the hood, walking in the hood, when we're in the hood, we are acutely aware of the dangers that the hood have to offer. And when we see white people just kind of, you know, walking around, you know, golly go lucky, we're like, damn. What's up with these white folk? These white folk walking around here like, dang, you know, you in the hood. And they do. And some of them live there. And some of them get robbed. Some of them don't, right? It's not like every white person who lives in the hood gets knocked over the head. But it does happen. Point I'm making is, when I'm walking through the hood and I see a crowd of 10 young black men on the corner with their pants sagging, and their hoodies up or the ski mask on, and they're going in their pockets or they're tugging at their waistband or they're talking real loud and obnoxious like they have no regard for anybody else in the immediate area, I think there's a threat. Same way a cop would. Same way anybody who really cares about their immediate well-being, safety. Oh, that's a threat. Does it mean that they're going to rob me and kill me? No. Does it mean they're capable of it? Possibly. Does it mean that I should be aware? Always. Always. Out of self-preservation, always. Connection. It's no different for me to walk through the neighborhood and see a crowd of young black men with ski masks and realize that they're a threat, potentially a threat, than for me to look at a crowd of construction workers who are brown skinned or have a Hispanic look to them and think some of them might be illegal immigrants. That's not racism. That ain't racism, folks. We don't have a consensus on that in the Minnesota Republican Party. I say all that to say we do not have a consensus on that in the conservative movement, in the Republican Party of Minnesota or nationwide. And let's continue to name the names. Republican-held Congress, Republican-held Senate, Republican White House, conservative, and I say that with air quotes for those listening, not watching, conservative-leaning Supreme Court, all of them are soft on foreign invaders. Every body, every single one of those bodies, all four of them, are soft on foreign invaders. The Congress, the Senate, the White House, and the Supreme Court are all soft on foreign invaders. And you all are going to try and make Mike Lindell the fall guy of our woes around this foreign invasion? Not on my watch. I'm sorry. I could do a lot of things for you, but that I can't do. That I'm just not. No. See, and my number one pet peeve, and if you watch the show, you know, my number one pet peeve is scapegoats. I can't stand scapegoats. It's part of the reason why I became such a faithful President Trump supporter, because I recognize this country's impetus to find and ride a scapegoat so they can justify their own laissez-faire apathy is profound. It's profound and it's insidious. I'll say it again. America's impetus to find and ride a scapegoat to justify their own laissez-faire apathy is profound and insidious. And that's what President Trump has been for the better part of 10 years. And now, after he endorses Mike Lindell, and it appears we were all right about the 2020 election and the undermining of the 2020 election and election security as a general proposition. Now, all of a sudden, Mike slips up and he throws out this bad amnesty proposal. And it's, oh, Mike Lindell's a traitor. Oh, really? No, you know who I think the traitors are? I think every one of you conservative white men in this country who sent Michelle Tafoya even a single dollar are traitors. That's what I think. And I think, no, I know. I don't think I know. I know it's not going to get me any votes, but I know for a fact that the real crisis in this country is men who get seduced by their sexual impulses. And therefore, not that it's wrong to love women. We don't want to become eunuchs and we don't want to become raging homosexuals as a response. But the fact that we've allowed the feminist movement, like I've said many times, and even these women on the conservative side to dictate the direction of our political culture is an indictment of your character, especially you Christian men. And the fact that you would actually convince yourselves that this woman is electable because she's pro-choice and the center-left communists love a good pro-choice Republican woman, you all are the traitors. And oh, by the way, the Michelle Tafoyas of the world were in favor of the Dignidad Act, which would have effectively granted amnesty to God knows how many of these foreign invaders, and you all still sent their money. I know when it gets like that, people just kind of go, man, that guy Royce, man, you know, he's a little extreme for me. You know, that guy Royce, you know, I like him, but they say I like him, but he's a little angry. Yeah, that guy Royce, he's a little angry. He says a lot of things that make sense, but I don't know if I can trust him. He's a little angry. Don't trust me. Don't like me. I don't want you to like me. I didn't get into politics to pander, to play around, to pretend, to be some polished puppet, and I definitely didn't get into politics to lie, you know, to get up on the stage and lie. You people are full of it. You're full of it. You're scapegoat aficionados is what we are. America is a scapegoat aficionado. That's what we do. We're great at that. We find a scapegoat here, there, anywhere, everywhere. We find scapegoat. Everywhere you look, there's a scapegoat. Our entire organizing principle, the entire organizing principle of American culture is scapegoats. One way or another, we will find a distraction, a suitable distraction to keep everybody focused. We're going to find something to keep people distracted other than going right down the center of the road, right down the middle. What's right down the middle? Mass deportations, 20-year moratorium on all illegal immigration, on all legal immigration, I'm sorry. On all immigration. Mass deportations. If you're for amnesty, if you're not for mass deportations, you're for amnesty. Mass deportations, 25-year moratorium on all immigration. Get a head count in the country. We have to get a head count in this country. Simple. Secure the elections. And until we can get a head count, a proper head count, and secure our elections, guarantee at least some shot in the dark of a guarantee around election security, the president can't even consider giving his government back to the Democrats. Until we get secure elections in this country, even a resemblance of secure elections across this country, and a head count, the president of the United States can't even consider giving this government back to these traitors. Now, that's a daunting proposition because a lot of you have a lot of problems with President Trump's particular choices on certain matters. And I voiced my disagreement with those as well. Like, for example, For example, the real threat of jihad is right here in Minneapolis. It's right there in New York City. It's not in Tehran. It's not in Tehran. And like I said in the, you know, it's a, come on, it's a wink and a nod, it's a wazzy, it's a woozy, it's that's not real. It's not real. Okay, I'm not saying they don't have yellow cake uranium. What I'm saying is you cannot convince me that we can put a heat-guided missile up, but we don't know where the 20 million foreign invaders are that came into our own country. Then we have a problem with our priorities, or we have a lie, a dishonesty about the level of sophistication in our security, in our surveillance, in our security. It's just one or the other. The real threat is our elections not being secure and the 20 million foreign invaders. That's the real threat to our nation. Full stop. And by that measure, President Trump needs to stay in the White House. And when he says Trump 2028, I think it's a, you know, he's kind of being tongue in cheek. I'm not. I'm dead serious. And see, we live in such a strange culture, such a strange time with the peculiar narrative and odd bedfellows. There are actually people out there who are closer to the Mike Pence's of the world that think they're more MAGA than me. And I'm just sitting there going, Judas Pence, who certified that 2020 election? Are you kidding me? Well, I mean, if we want to redefine MAGA to the point where the Mike Pence's of the world get a pass, and they don't have to really apologize. It's not like Mike Pence can. The other day when the president made this statement, it's not like Mike Pence followed up with it on his social media and said, you know what? I'm sorry, America, that I certified this election. After further review, after looking at some of these facts, these developing stories and some of this developing information about the 2020 election, under further review, I regret my decision to certify that rigged election. He didn't say that because he doesn't believe that. And neither do most of these other soft-bellied, light-in-the-loafers Republicans. The question is, how long are you going to keep riding this train? Just jump on the Royce train. Let's go for a ride. Let's go for a ride. It's liberating. You don't talk about liberty. You know what liberty is? Tim Scott's a stupid gay commie sympathizer. That's liberating. Mitch McConnell, I mean, what can you even say? A traitor. We can go on down the list. It's liberate. Just say it. Just say it, but mean it when you say it. And vote like you mean it. Participate like you mean it. You're watching The Alex Jones Show here on Sunday Night Live, The Alex Jones Network. I'm your guest host, Royce White, and the belly of the beast battling the stomach flu, but we're here nonetheless. We'll be right back in a moment.
There's a massive sale going on right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Huge. Ultimate summer sale. 50% off Ultimate Power, Freedom, Mango, and Patriot Punch. Methylene Red capsules. This is a proprietary product. It would take an hour to get into Ultra Methylene Red. The capsules are now in. Mind-fueled nootropic energy shots. All 50% off. 40% off zeolite tincture. Detoxifying, go up for spike protein, and it's good for your whole body getting heavy metals out. Methylene Blue tincture, 40% off. CMOS gummies, 40% off. Shilajit gummies, 40% off. Methylene Blue gummies, 40% off. Ultimate Chill, and a whole bunch of other big discounts as well. 30% off all apparel. The widest selection of Patriot shirts of every different design, configuration. It is the widest selection. It's over 800 different shirts. It's ridiculous. The new line that I designed is, I think, pretty good. Rebel Scum since 1776. The Betsy Ross flag, less 1984, more 1776. In muscle shirts, a whole bunch of other really cool stuff now at thealexjonesstore.com. I love this lightweight so-called dress shirt, but it's a very special type of shirt from a great manufacturer. We now have the boxer shorts, and they're not boxer like underwear. It's, the classic boxer shorts that aren't long and aren't short. They're just kind of medium. They're my favorite type. I picked these out. I picked the brand. I said, this is the type of short I like. We're adding a lot of new apparel at thealexjonesstore.com. And every order right now, and it's about to end in the next few days, gets a free mystery T-shirt. You just put your size in, you get a free mystery T-shirt with every order that's $29 or more at thealexjonesstore.com. That is a hell of a deal. right now. We've got the silver collectible 250-year anniversary with the amazing Jerusalem cross. Those are going to be gone soon. TheAlexJonesStore.com, and you stand with us, and you know that all the great work we're doing is because of you. You are the reason we're here. You are the InfoWar. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Royce White in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. This is the Alex Jones Network here on Sunday Night Live. And we're just cutting through all the noise, you know, and Minnesota always gives us great examples of the crisis in our country. But this last week, I mean, I was compelled to just jump on and do a live because I was watching all these Minnesota Republicans pretend like they were more hardcore conservatives than Mike Lindell. And I'm like, what is this? What am I watching here? You're talking about people who said President Trump's too extreme, the MAGA base is a problem, that we should do away with the endorsement process and the caucus process because the MAGA base of Minnesota Republicans don't have a clue what's going on politically and they're dumb or uninformed or uneducated. They're stupid. They're in a cult. These are all things that I've heard on the campaign trail time and time again. And from those same people came recruits like Michelle Tafoya, Adam Schwarzy, Kendall Qualls, Lisa DeMuth. I'm just telling you how it really is, folks. And what's sad about it is even some of the MAGA people in Minnesota know that to be true. And they've still created some workaround, some justification in their head based on election strategy, which is super gay. It's dishonest. It's dishonorable. But it's just gay and corny in my world. Like in the bro world and the dude world, you're stupid and you're gay for thinking, oh, yeah, I know they're a rhino, but they can win. What do you really win? What do you gain if you lose your soul? Not to be too, you know, biblical and poetic, but what profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? And it's a question we have to ask ourselves right now, a serious question. Like, okay, we're at the height of human civilization, the height of known human civilization. We got AI in front of us. We got another industrial revolution in front of us. We got the internet. We got all of this technological advancement. How much is enough? How much do we need? How much is enough? And at what cost? How much do we need? How much is enough? And at what cost? To our soul. As individuals, but as a nation, as a collective species, as a civilization. These are questions we're going to have to answer. I mean, we can dance around them all we want to, but that is the question on the table. And all the easy questions and all the easy answers are behind us. There's no easy answers. There are going to be some hard sacrifices need to be made. One of the easier sacrifices, I think, on the front end of this pretty pivotal moment in human history, one of the easy answers on the front end is, don't elect people who constantly smile when they talk to you on their stupid political ads and infomercials. Don't elect those people, please. For the love of God, do not elect people who sit there and talk to you with a constant smile like they can't move their face. Please, for the love of God. I mean, how stupid do you have to be to think that person is going to go hold the line for anything, you know, anything serious? It's like, I'm Lisa DeMuth. I was the former Speaker of the House that was there with the Republicans when Tim Walz and all the other stupid gay communists ran the state into the ground. I didn't do anything when I was the Speaker of the House on the Republican side, but I promise when I'm governor, I'm going to do something then. All I hear when it's like even the political ads in general. Now, granted, the guy out in California, he had some good AI political ad. You know who's got a badass political ad writer? Maybe the best political ad I've seen in this entire election cycle is Fishback's lieutenant governor down there in Florida. And I posted a comment on the video that the guy Lozado or whatever his name is. And he's just like, he's an ex-cop or whatever. And it's just like, here's my lieutenant governor. And they got this sharp cutaway to, you know, him being a cop. He's chasing the guy down. He's got a guy pinned down on the ground. And he says, if you reach, I'll smoke you, MF-er. And it's just like, I had a comment. I said, oh, that's how you guys are coming? I love that, right? But all these other political, they're stupid and corny and gay. And, you know, boomer cons, you know, they love them. And it's why the country is in a death spiral. Stay tuned. We're in the Alex Jones Network. I'm your guest host, Royce White. We'll be right back.
Lord Vader, the rebellion is exposing your lies. We are the resistance, and we're taking down the Empire's deep state machine once and for all.
Get this guy off my screen. Can we go to clip 50? Clip 50. Guys, what's going on back there? All I wanted was clip 50. I sent it this morning. You should have had it. I'm not mad at the crew. I am not mad at the crew, but I am mad at you. Go to the AlexJonesStore.com and make the purchase now.
Patriots' choice and globalists' dread. Welcome to the Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Royce White, here in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. You're watching the Alex Jones Network. And we're just cutting through the noise this evening. Sunday night, it's great to be back, dealing with the lettuce flu, I think. Who knows? Hey, maybe Israel sent me one of those super advanced viruses in a pill. Maybe don't they have these like directed energy weapons where they can like send you a virus through the airwaves or something? I read. I don't know. But I won't take any money from AIPAC regardless, right? I mean, we'll just have to take our chances with the flu and the targeted the laser guided the direct energy weapons and the Havana syndromes and the cool pagers and whatnot. We just have to roll the dice. We're rolling the dice this weekend and into the foreseeable future because these are dangerous times, you know. But it's not only Israel. I hate every answer is it's the Jews. It's like, guys, stop. Stop. We've been down this road already. Okay. Israel is a problem, obviously. And we told you, Mr. President, we told you can't trust them. Israel's a problem. But you know what? I don't trust any of these people. That's why I say we need a moratorium on all immigration. What I really can't stand is our affinity for Europe. You know, that even more gay than our cucking for Israel or our being the tributary for the Communist Chinese Party because we're lazy and don't want to manufacture our own action figures or whatever the case may be, right? Lug nuts, more important, essentials. Antibiotics, apropos to the biological attacks. But our kind of just superficial affinity for Europe. See, like, I knew this country was in a tailspin when the conservatives cried, the Muslims are coming. Take cover, get ready, my God, the Muslims are coming. And then the king comes to visit America and we all applaud, even though he's giving his continent and country over to Muslims. It's like, what kind of racket is this? You know, and that's why I fail to gain the traction that you would otherwise assume, partly because I don't wear, you know, I'm not in it for show business. I just, to me, it's not show business. To me, if I wanted to be an actor, let's say, if I wanted to be an actor, seriously, number one, I'd probably do voiceover, right? Like the great Earl James Jones. I think it was Earl James Jones. You know, the Lion King guy. Is it Earl James Jones? James Earl Jones, right. I'm sorry. Yeah, a little dyslexic. Okay. James Earl Jones, right. I do voiceovers if I wanted to be in show business. Or I'd go to Hollywood, sleep out of my car, cross-dress on the weekends at the underground speakeasies, blow a few Hollywood producers, and get a nice, you know, career-changing movie role. This ain't show business, folks. And I would never do that kind of thing, obviously. But you get my point. It's doable. Especially for me, it's doable, actually. Actually, I had people come to me multiple times like, why don't you just get into show business, do movies or do something like, you know, what they're really saying is, come out of politics. This is the devil saying, come out of politics. We can give you the fame and the glory and the trappings and the financial security. You can live in one of those beautiful, elegant, sleek, modern houses in the Hollywood Hills where your neighbors are doing microdosing LSD and doing satanic rituals with human trafficked children, you know, a few houses down. And it could be all good. But this ain't show business for me personally. So I just, again, like I said in the last block, imagine seeing one of these corny political ads that they run and still believe in them. Like, hi, I'm a strong candidate. I went to law school. I was in the Boy Scouts and the Girl Scouts of America. I was Miss America. I was a this, I was a that. And now I have a wife and three kids and I'm the consummate example of the American family, man. And as the ad goes on, you can literally hear the masculinity leave from the voice of this hypothetical fruitcake. And that's what happened to this country. We all know it. We all know what happened. Bring back up the pictures. Can you guys in the studio there, can you bring back up the pictures of the Republican elected officials? Let's do the Republicans, please. Cause we know that the left, I mean, we know they're a ragtag bunch of stupid gay commies. Let's bring back up the Republicans who we elected. Okay. And you just look up and down the line, and it's like, how did these people convince America? Zoom in on them. Let's see them up close. Okay. How did these individuals convince the greatest nation of citizens in the history of human civilization that they were tough enough, gritty enough, even cool enough, had the courage to conserve anything? These people don't even look like they're going to conserve anything. How did they pull this over on us? Look at these folks. I mean, it's like, I feel differently about it. Cause it's like, if you come to in my neighborhood, you come to the playground, it's like, maybe you can play and we're getting it wrong. But mostly if you walk like a duck and you talk like a duck, you probably can't play no ball. You probably don't know ball. You probably can't hoop. And every once in a while, you get the Billy Hoyt, right? Remember, White Man Can't Jump. You get the Billy Hoyt who comes to the park and everybody thinks he dresses like a square and, you know, he can't hoop. He can't play no ball. And all of a sudden you look up and he's splashing you with the three. And it's like, dang, he can really play some ball. That does happen, but that's the exception, not the rule. The eye test of our United States Senate and United States Congress is exactly why the Congress, the Senate, the White House, and the conservative-leaning Supreme Court are all soft on foreign invaders. What did you expect from these people? Honestly. It's almost kind of sadomasochistic that we, you know, oh, there's a good highlight. Who brought that up in the studio? Somebody knows ball. White Chocolate, Jason Williams. There's a guy who you might not think could play no ball because he's a white guy, but he had more flavor. Let's just make this clear as an aside. Jason Williams, also known as White Chocolate, might have the most style of any basketball player in history. Honestly, he was that slick with the basketball. So, but he was the exception, not the rule. And there are exceptions. We know there are exceptions. Not a handful of those folks in the Republican United States Senate are an exception. They ain't Jason Williams. Let's say it like that. They ain't Jason Williams. Okay? They ain't the exception. They're the rule. They're old. They're stiff. They're dishonest. They have a lack of sacred honor. They've been bought and paid for. And I'm just getting lost in these Jason Williams clips right now. Look at this guy. I mean, see, when you grow up in a basketball world, there's like, you can either do that with a basketball or you can't. There ain't no in between. There ain't no esoteric jargon that you could try and lie and justify. Either you can back tap a basketball in motion with your elbow or you can't. If you can, we tip our hat and we respect you. If you say you can and then you get out there and you can't tie your shoelaces, next. And I'm looking at this entire Republican lineup from top to bottom, folks. I'm just being honest. There's a few folks in there that I'm like, all right, okay. I feel you. I like that. Like Tim Burkett. Okay. Is it Burchett? Tim Burkett. Okay. I'm not sure exactly how to say the last name, but I like him. A little bit too much APAC money for my taste, but I like him, right? Paulina Luna, she's out there trying. She's out there taking some chances. Very good looking. Not good looking enough for me to turn my blind eye to some of these concerning things, but okay, let's see what she's got. Eli Crane, I like him. He's out there trying to take some chances and whatnot. There's some other people. I'm missing some. There's some sprinkled through there, you know. But what's this guy's name? Mark Wayne? Guys, what do you want me to say? I don't like these people. I don't think they're tough. I don't think they're gritty. I don't think they're cool. I don't think they have the courage. I don't think they have any type of qualities that President Trump has. To be quite honest, and I'm not saying. That we have to be able to find hundreds of President Trumps, because you don't find hundreds of President Trumps, but can we at least get some real, yeah, there he is. Oh, there he is. Mark Wayne Mullen, whatever his name is. Mister, I'll come down there and fight you, right? Mass deportations, arrests. We want the arrests. We need the arrests. Let's not say we want them. We should stop saying we want arrests. We don't want them. We need them. You know, because justice is a very fragile idea and mechanism. Justice is. We need arrests. I feel like me and Alex Jones will get arrested before these deep staters. There's a better chance that myself and Alex Jones and a bunch of other look at the Tate brothers. That outfit that Andrew Tate got arrested in was super gay. No doubt. I mean, that was super gay. No man should be out. Listen, don't be showing your ankles. You're a grown man and you're not wearing shorts. You're explicitly not wearing shorts. Do not show your ankles, especially not a lot of ankle. Telling, especially if you wear a purple silk shirt and Andrew Tate, I'm saying it looks gay. Regardless of what I think about the outfit, regardless what I think about Andrew Tate's lifestyle, yeah, there it is. The shirt's a little too tight, and it's a color of purple. I just not liking. That's not even the point. I'm just being, Andrew Tate would think it's probably funny. But all in all, the fact that we would ever consider deporting, extraditing anybody for the United Kingdom is a damn disgrace. When they start deporting the millions of foreign invaders that have taken over Europe, then we'll even have a conversation with them about some of their extradition goals. But while we continue to subsidize the entire European continent's defense, we're not going to be taking any time to extradite anybody for you. Anybody. Even furthermore, because we know that the woke ideology is taking over Europe, especially in the UK, and we don't have a single scintilla of reason to believe that any of these trumped up charges that come from these woke British courts have any more legitimacy to them than the Me Too cases and things that come up from our own courts, from our own culture, in our own country. See, and you just have to be able to draw that hard line. And I think people have trouble with that distinction. It's like when a man shows too much ankle, that shit's gay to me. But we should never extradite anybody on behalf of the UK. I want to see Dr. Fauci in cuffs. I want to see some of these United States senators who are probably conspiring with our national mortal enemies to keep the Save America Act from being passed. I want to see them put in handcuffs. I want to see them detained and perp walked. I want to see them have to call in some lawyers like the great Alex Jones had to do, spend hundreds of thousands of dollars of their ill-begotten gains on lawyers so they can defend themselves against we the people, them versus the United States of America. That's what we want to see. We don't want to see Andrew Tate and his brother Tristan getting handcuffed. Are you kidding me? And some of you cuck-servatives are so cucked. You actually make a workaround like, we do need to make 20 million deportations, but the Tates are despicable people, so we should start with them. Shut up. Shut up, you Michelle Tafoyaites, who talk about mass deportations as a political idea, but as soon as somebody turns their head and looks the other way, you're over there fondling your Michelle Tafoya dolls. Sending her money. And she's a Dignidad Republican. Dignity, huh? Where's the dignity for the American citizens? Where's our dignity? Where's the dignity for the American people? Where is the dignity for American citizenship? That's the dignity I want to talk about. I don't even know the Dignidad Act. But, you know, you all haven't had enough yet, and I'm too extreme, right? Alex Jones, you said he's too extreme for years. They're still saying he's a conspiracy theorist. I'm like, how many of these conspiracies have to become true for you guys to switch your the scary part is unlimited. Unlimited. There is no limit. There's no outer boundary. The question is, for American citizens right now, the question we face, the existential question we face, what is the outer boundary of what American citizens will put up with? Is there an outer boundary? Is there a limit? Right now, there is no outer boundary or limit. We'll just put up with anything. We'll take anything. It's like, I'm in Minnesota and I've been saying to these black people for a long time, your kids can't even read at grade level. In the Minneapolis public schools, they have a $2 billion a year budget. In Minneapolis public schools, they got a $2 billion a year budget, and only 30% of the kids can read at grade level. 30% are proficient in reading and writing and math in Minneapolis, but they have time to smuggle gender-neutral dolls in for the 4-year-olds and the 5-year-olds to teach them about non-binaries. And you black people put up with that? Are you people stupid, dumb, or suicidal? Maybe all three. We call that the demonic hat trick. When you're stupid, dumb, and suicidal, that is the hat trick. And you guys are playing, you know, people play right into it. And it's just like, so I've been saying, how much are you all going to put up with? Just tell us you don't care if your kids read. If your kids know how to read, stop saying education is a priority in the black community. It's not. Because if it were, it's like, okay, you know, we're the Los Angeles Lakers. We invested in LeBron James. We thought it was going to be a great chance for us to win a championship. And I think if I recall, they won a championship in the bubble. So they actually won one. There's a little asterisk around this championship, but essentially they won one. And, you know, now he's gotten to an age where we don't know if he can get us over the hump, which is kind of crazy because he's putting up the same numbers now that he was in his prime. And I hate LeBron James politics, but again, results are results. You're good or bad by comparison. And by comparison, he's still one of the top 5 most productive players in the league. Okay. The Los Angeles Lakers have moved on. They want to think about their future. Why? Because they're looking at the results. They're saying this was the team that we had. This was the result we got. We need to go in a different direction. And a lot of Lakers fans will have an opinion about that one way or another. But mostly people are like, yeah, time to move on from LeBron James. Same black people will have nothing but Democrats running their city, schools, communities. And the results are abysmal. And they never even consider changing course. They don't even consider it. You stupid Negroes to come from the hood, so I know. You debate about the gossip of which rapper's dating this girl or that girl. You debate about who's the best basketball player of all time. It ain't you. Nobody cares what your opinion is on who the GOAT. Nobody cares what you think anyway. You couldn't do what Bill Cartwright could do with a basketball. Why are you debating about Michael Jordan or LeBron? It's just a stupid waste of time. And they built an entire enterprise, an entire industry about this type of stupid, unimportant gossip and debate. You know, it's just it's stupid. Meanwhile, the communists have flooded transgender ideologues into your public schools, and they're teaching your kids about non-binaries, and they don't even know how to read. They can't even read at grade level, but they're bringing them non-binary dolls to learn about gender fluidity. And I'm supposed to what? I'm supposed to come to the community and pander to you and talk about black issues? The issue is black people. I don't even talk about black issues. It's we're the issue. Because you got to be stupid, dumb, or suicidal to pretend like education is a priority for your community, your political platform, your political philosophy. And you let transgender ideologues bring you gender non-binary theories before your kids can even read, write, or do math at grade level. You are the issue. You. Okay. So, but, you know, they're not the only issue. They're a issue. They're an issue. They're not the issue. The issue is we have not had enough yet. We have not had enough yet. You know the song, we're not gonna take it. No, we're not gonna take it. We're not gonna take it anymore. We're the opposite. We're living in the parallel universe where we'll take as much as you can give us. Yep. Yep. We're the desperate gay guy that showed up to the brothel speakeasy, the underground brothel and speakeasy, and we're at the glory hole. We'll take as much as they'll give us. That's who we are. That's who this country's become. And I mean that pun intended, because we literally are being taken over by, as I said in the cold open, transgender jihadists like Mom Donnie, who's obviously gay. I mean, and I don't mean gay in a sexual way. I mean, he's just gay like in a 1990s South Park kind of way. Super gay. And, you know, New York City's fallen. And what? I don't know. What do you want me to say? You want me to talk about my policy plan? Shut up. Shut up. We need to start smacking some of these people in public is what we need to start doing. Let's stop pretending, okay, like we're going to vote our way out of this. We're not voting our way. Let's be honest. Myself and the great Mike Lindell have a primary coming up here in Minnesota on August 11th. It's not going to be secure. The elections aren't secure. We're not voting our way out of any of this. But that doesn't mean we can't get out of this. You're watching The Alex Jones Show here on the Alex Jones Network, Sunday Night Live. I'm your guest host, Royce White. We'll be right back in a moment. Stay tuned.
My fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts. Go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. It's globalist siege. It's globalist economic warfare. It's a globalist blockade, an embargo, sanctions against American populist patriots. For everyone that's been watching and listening to me for years, you've seen the attacks, you've seen the deplatforming, you've seen the court battles, the news articles, the demonization, the bogus default judgments. We even have FBI and CIA operatives on hidden camera talking about how their entire goal was to take me out of the knees by knocking out my ability to accept payments. And that model they used on me, they admit, is for all of you.
Alex Jones.
Yeah, so we were after him.
So with Alex Jones. And the goal with him was what, just to bankrupt him?
Pretty much.
Well, because of First United Payments and your support, they failed. And they failed because I had a processor with a backbone who loves America and believes in the free market. One who stands up for American justice and who didn't back down when they received threatening messages and pressure from other major institutions. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you. Meta, Facebook is watching you. Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for one second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, it's when Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Consolidation, vertical integration, that is the goal of the BlackRock globalist system. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. This is the key to their entire panopticonic takeover plan in their own words. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, was very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system. Even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. Visit First United Payments now at FirstUnitedPayments.com. And talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. That's 877-899-1313. The tyrants are counting on us not to innovate. They're counting on us not to migrate to institutions and organizations that are pro-human just like us. This isn't some new company. I've been using them for almost a decade. They're already taking care of most of the patriots. Whether you're a florist, have a gas station, or you're a farmer, or you've got a little five and dime shop or a factory, whatever it is, online merchants, this is the place for you. These guys are patriots and they're in our corner. They're Americans just like us and they hate the New World Order with a passion. They believe in the free market and they understand this is 1776 2.0. 90% of it is information warfare and financial. And this is just as important as the right to self-defense and guns. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Thank you so much. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. Here on the Alex Jones Network, I'm your guest host, Royce White, in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. And we have covered a lot of ground this evening. It's a great joy and honor to be back this Sunday. Primary coming up here in Minnesota, August 11th. If you are in the state of Minnesota, or you know somebody in the state of Minnesota, please tell them don't miss the primaries. Primaries are where elections are decided. I always refer back to a great quote from Eric Weinstein, who is a pretty smart guy himself. And in a podcast I was watching one time, he said that the primaries in America are the way they prune the political parties of the populist candidates. And I'm a relatively eloquent guy myself, but I couldn't put it any better than that. The primaries are how they prune the political parties of the populist candidates. And we are up against one of those moments here in Minnesota in two offices, one being the governor, the great Mike Lindell, and myself in the United States Senate. And there's not a more MAGA ticket. Now, again, you guys know there ain't an amnesty. There ain't an amnesty bone in my body. But regardless, Mike Lindell is a patriot. And, you know, the thing I'll say about Mike, Mike's not a politician. So he's not going to have a polished and curated response for every question and policy question that he's asked. You know, he's genuine and he's got courage. And when he sees something's wrong, he'll stand up to it. He'll fight against it. And he'll fight to a fault. He'll fight and he'll give everything that he has. He's a guy that you want to have in a foxhole. He's a guy you want to be with in a foxhole. That's just what it is. That's who he is. He's proven it. His track record is proven. And that's why President Trump endorsed him. But we ran into a little snag here where, you know, respectfully, and I do say this with all due respect, you know, some of these things in our movement, we don't have sorted out yet. And that's just what it is. Like even the elections themselves. Are we early voting? Are we out there chasing the ballot like Scott Pressler with the blowout? Or are we doing same day paper ballots? I don't know. It's a problem that I don't know. It's a problem as one of the front running United States Senate candidates here in the state of Minnesota, in the cultural epicenter of American politics, you know, ground zero for this communist experiment, this color revolution. It's a problem that we don't have a unified strategy on these issues, on some of the, at least the important ones, like what are we doing with the foreign invaders? And if we're slowing down the deportations federally, then how on earth is anybody out there trying to make Mike Lindell the fall guy of our softness on foreign invaders? It ain't Mike Lindell's decision anyway. Let's be honest. That'd be for somebody like me, a United States senator, who's going to vote and be able to pass the bill, have the final say and write a pass on a bill to deport foreign invaders. So that's going to come across my desk. And when it comes across my desk, it gets stamped and approved. Mass deportations. The scary part is I'd probably be one of the lone voices in the United States Senate currently held by Republicans that supports mass deportations. And you got to ask yourself, what have you done to this country that for some strange reason we've elected all of these Republicans who say they're conservative and yet they haven't even conserved the sovereignty of your citizenship? You have to look in the mirror. That's a you question. That's a you in the mirror in the morning or at night before you go to bed type of question. What have I done to this great nation? What have we done to this great nation? We've elected all these Republicans who say they're going to conserve this or that. They haven't even conserved the sovereignty of your citizenship. And the scary part is they don't even plan to. They don't even pretend to plan to conserve the sovereignty of your citizenship. I don't even know if the word sovereignty is important to you, though. Well, obviously it's not, because back to my point, you wouldn't have elected these folks if it were. You wouldn't have elected a George Bush. I mean, it's just like, you know, I can come to you every Sunday and we can talk. You know, I have a great time talking to the American people. I'll go anywhere and talk anytime under any set of rules. I like talking to people. I like talking about issues. Men who have, a robust intellect enjoy intellectual pursuits, and one of them is dialogue. So I love having a good chat. But I tend to think we're beyond words at this point, if it were up to me. When President Trump says 2028, he's saying it at a White House correspondents dinner, and maybe he's floating it for the first, really starting to float it because we're getting to that point. But I'm dead serious about it. I mean, I'm dead serious. Like, all my disagreements with some of President Trump's choices, and there are a few. But even still, in my opinion, he's the best chance that we have to fix this. I mean, it's not even debatable that right now he's the single best chance that we have to fix this situation. That's I don't even think that can be debated. He's the current commander in chief. There's not even a question. He has the best. He's the best chance we have to fix this. But I also think that his personality and temperament, out of all the players on the field, is probably still the best chance we had to fix. Well, you can go with Newsom, AOC, as a protest vote in 28. Why don't you just get on the internet? Like I said in the last few blocks, there's an entire satanic and communist underground in this country, especially in the major cities. Why don't you just go on the internet and find the emo kids who became the goth kids, who became the Marxist revolutionaries and the Antifas? Why don't you just find out where they have the weird, nasty, omnisexual orgies and go on down and just take a handful? Why don't you just start now? Because if you vote for them, it's as sure as the sun will rise, this country is getting turned into a gay paradise. Remember Gangster's Paradise by Coolio? Yeah, we're in the alternate universe where we're living in a gay paradise. But it ain't so paradise. Okay? It ain't so happy for me. Some of you all might like it. I can't stand it. I can't stand what I'm seeing. I can't stand seeing the NBA players show up to the games and they're wearing crop tops and dresses. I can't stand all these effeminate men running around here trying to say that they're that they care about and protect women because they agree with every single thing they think, no matter how stupid the idea is. I can't stand these people who say the WNBA is just as good as the NBA. Look, there's some good girl women basketball players in the world. Caitlin Clark's one of them. Aja Wilson, another one. But ain't no way in hell that the WNBA is even anywhere near as good as the NBA or that the women are anywhere near as good as the men. It's just a ridiculous proposition. But it's becoming normal is my point. As ridiculous as it sounds, it has become normal. And that is what is in store for us if we vote for these communists. What is not true, what is not real, what is not in alignment with God's natural order, what is not the logos will become normal, will become fiat. And that's probably more dangerous. It's not that it becomes normal culturally. They have made it normal by decree and by fiat. So who you got? You got Rubio, you got Vance. And this may be something a little dangerous for me to say, but hey, I don't really trust Marco Rubio. Sorry. That's just me personally. I've never met the man, so I can only say from what I see on a TV screen. And of course, that there's a proximity issue there. But on face value, don't trust him. J.D. Vance on face value, don't trust him. I hope they're doing a good job, but how well a job do I really know what they're doing? Do any of us really know what a Secretary of State or a Vice President is really doing every day? I mean, the amount of things, and I don't mean to sow, sow division in the camp. I'm just giving you my personal opinion. If I had to put all my money on red, okay? If I had to double down, if I had to push all my chips in, I'm not pushing all my chips in with Marco Rubio or J.D. Vance. I pushed all my chips in with President Trump in 2024. I put that on the line. Actually, I put it on the line back in 2022 when he had very few allies. When some of the people who joined the train later on weren't on his side. No problem. Because again, my pet peeve is scapegoats, and they try to make him the greatest scapegoat in the history of human civilization. Just out of protest, I'm rolling with President Trump because you all are trying to be. This is a racket. this is a racket. You guys are trying to run on yourselves, and I'm not going to participate in it. President Trump isn't the source of all your problems. Not even remotely close. The biggest source of your problems is probably staring you right in the mirror every night. But more than that, maybe the person you sleep next to. Okay, and then you can extrapolate out from there. If you want to get to a political rung of the ladder, then look at the local politicians in your immediate area, which for a lot of you Negroes out there is the Democrats that you blindly follow. Start there. You want to go a little bit further than that back in history. Well, we got two political parties and everybody seems hell bent to follow the two political parties, no matter how much they lie or don't deliver on their promises. So don't make it seem like President Trump is the ball and chain of this great nation, because we were losing this great nation before President Trump ever decided to get into politics. And that's the truth of it. So I don't agree with everything that he does. But the bottom line is a lot of you don't like him and still reject him, you know, because you can't think of anything more novel to do, which is super gay, by the way. It's like my default is President Trump's fault. Gay. Tell me something real. try again. Tell me something real. That ain't real. Yeah. So I disagree with, like, again, and I've said it many times on this show, this Iran war is not an example of properly ordered priorities. Not even close. Not even close. We cannot fight jihadism, radical Islam, or whatever else a world away when we're giving our own financial capital to jihadists in Minnesota, the cultural epicenter of American politics, to Muslims and foreign invaders. And we're still giving, it should be a federal crime to give a foreign invader a driver's license. It should be a federal crime to give a foreign invader an official form of identification in this great country where we've been subverted through a foreign invasion. That is seditious. And that should be the priority. But all that being said, Trump 2028, I know a lot of you won't like it. I don't care. I don't care who doesn't like it. I'm not in this to be liked. I'm in this to tell you how it is. How it is we can never give this country back until the elections are secure. We can never give this country back until the elections are secure and the invaders are out. That's it. Let me make it real clear again for everybody in the back. We can never give this country back to the communists until the elections are secure and the foreign invaders have been removed. And as a bonus, some deep staters are arrested. Because we just can't ensure that this nation's security, we can't ensure our own security until those things happen. And the stakes are too high for us to leave it to chance, in my opinion. Now, some people don't mind leaving it to chance because they're not really taking a lot of the risk individually. For them, the things that happen politically are kind of esoteric and abstract. For me, I feel much closer to it. One, because I'm running for office and I'm in politics and I'm a commentator. So, you know, as we know, when the night of long knives comes, the people like me who are out there on the front line, tip of the spear, speaking the truth, usually get rounded up first. So I have a personal stake in the game. But regardless, you know, nobody thinks it affects them until it affects them. It's like nobody wants to have security cameras at their house until the first time somebody breaks in to their house. And then it's like, whoa, we need security. Oh, we really do need security. It's like, yeah, you know, you always needed security. You just didn't realize it until it was up in your face. Well, again, as I said earlier, what more would need to happen for it to be up in your face, America? And say, you know, take it that over half the country, there's no boundary. Over half the, I don't know, over. Okay. I'm just being a little, you know, out there with that. But almost half of the country doesn't think there's anything wrong with the Mamdanis and the direction of the Mamdanis. And we have to accept that reality first and foremost if we want to get a proper grasp on what's going on here. Almost half the country sees no problem at all with the direction that Mamdani is taking America. They see no problem. They're in lockstep agreement with it. Ideologically, spiritually, they're in agreement with the direction that Mamdani is taking America. So what do you do when you're left with the other half of the country that can't agree either? We're not in a position where voting our way out of this seems like a feasible path. And so what does that mean? Well, it's not without precedent. It's not like our founding fathers didn't warn us about these types of circumstances and give us great guidance on what we must be ready to do. And that goes for the president. That goes to the Mr. President. You know, I just got to say this to you, sir. Unless there's something I'm not seeing, and I'm certainly not, stupid enough to believe there couldn't be something that I'm not seeing. But unless there's some, I'm pretty good at seeing the big picture. Even if Iran had a nuclear weapon, I mean, it ain't like China ain't got nuclear weapons or Russia ain't got nuclear weapons. And that whole post where China and Russia gave us their word. They gave us their word? A word? Did they? Did they get the president of the country whose intelligence community is almost certainly responsible for stealing an election from the president of the United States gave us his word that they're not going to give weapons to Iran and we're going to take him on their word? Oh, really? Go figure. Go figure our national mortal enemy, one of the most tyrannical regimes in the history of human civilization, the Chinese Communist Party, gave us their word. If you're out there in the audience, let me help you out. The word of the Chinese means nothing. Why? Because they don't view you as human, so they have no sacred honor by which they're bound to keep their word to you. They don't have to keep. It's like keeping your word with the goyim. We're all goyim to the Chinese. I'm just telling you. We're all goyim to the Chinese. We're all infidels to the Chinese. So it's like, if that's the case, if you can't really ensure that Iran isn't going to get some dangerous material from their allies, ain't it probably best that we come on home and make sure we don't give our country over to communists? I don't know. Anybody out there in the audience disagree? I'm just talking on a logical basis. Now, you could say we could do both things at the same time. Sure. And maybe we can. And maybe we are. I don't see that. But it's possible. I'm not saying it's impossible that we do both things at the same time, that we ensure Iran doesn't get a nuclear weapon and stop the communists from taking over. But one of them we're not doing. See, then this is the cold, hard facts. One of them we are not doing. We can say we can do both at the same time, but one of them we are fundamentally not doing. And that's the one here at home. We are not making sure that the communists don't take over our country. We are not achieving that goal. And I keep saying, seeing the president say, I mean, he's saying it. He's saying, you guys better nuke the filibuster and pass the Save America Act before it's too late. But, you know, as soon as you say that, my automatic mind goes to, how long you keep asking these people? Is it really the impetus, sir, that if the Congress and the Senate, elected by the we the people, refuse to secure the elections for we the people, then you will essentially let things take their current course and give the country back to the communists? Because hell, what, the Congress and the Senate should have done something about it? That's not the right answer. That is not even, especially not for a legacy. I mean, oh, history looks poorly on people who make choices like that. In fact, through the Chernow House of History, we only revere men who do the exact opposite when they're confronted with that type of choice. The men that we revere as heroes throughout history do the exact opposite when they're confronted with that type of choice, confronted with the choice that our Congress and Senate, Republican held Congress and Senate and conservative leaning Supreme Court, will not do what's necessary to save this nation. It is incumbent upon the commander in chief to say, we're suspending the rules and we're going to save this country. And I challenge anybody out there to argue that point. So you may not like President Trump or agree with everything he's doing, but do you think Mike Johnson, John Thune, or Chief Justice Roberts are going to save this country? Do you think that Mike Johnson, Speaker Mike Johnson, Speaker John Thune, Senate Majority Leader John Thune, or Chief Justice Roberts are going to save this country? Do you really believe that? Do you? Who's over there on the other side? It's going to be Hakeem Jeffries. He's going to be Speaker of the House. In the Senate, it's going to be who are they going to put up as Majority Leader? I don't even know. Just to throw it in our face, they'll probably put up Raphael Warnock. It's because he's like, you got to put a black guy up there who's, I'm sure, wearing a dress in his spare time. And then, you know, they're going to change the Supreme Court. They're going to change. They're going to nuke the filibuster. They're going to change the Supreme Court. I mean, it's just, it's going to happen. So, one, why would we let that happen? And I mean it honestly. I really am asking the question to Americans out there, because you got to start to get your mind wrapped around this. When I say Trump 2028, it's not a wink and a nod. I'm dead serious. And I hope he is. I really do. Because we've reached that point. And for all those out there who say, well, you know, well, why'd they let him win in 2016? And why'd they let him win in 2024? Well, you're playing with, you are playing with forces that have the distinct advantage of what they call intergenerational wealth and time. So they think they can, the money and the power that really controls the better part of this world's societal function believes they can wait a President Trump out. So they can let him win a 2024 election. They can throw us a, they can throw a dog a bone. They can throw we the people a bone, but we're going to stop everything that he wants to do. And if he gets a little too froggy, we'll put a bullet right in his head. We've seen that happen before. And maybe that's why he won't just come out and say, you know what? I'm suspending the rules. They shot Lincoln. Democrats shot Lincoln for doing it, spending habeas corpus. And you know, so it's, I get it, but I don't even see the cultural sentiment there in We the People. And I'm out there all across the country talking to people every day. I don't see the cultural sentiment and sense of urgency, because if we had it, I think even the deep state would have to take a step back and go, we got to adjust. We got to, you know, reorganize here. We got to come up with a different plan over a longer time horizon. And that's the existential game we're in now. We have to have the cultural sentiment, the collective cultural sentiment as We the People, to ensure, to force the deep staters, our enemies, to change their plans and change the time horizon of their plans. And right now we're failing to do that because, as I said earlier, you stupid conservatives actually sent Michelle Tafoya money. You actually sent Michelle Tafoya money. It's been another great Sunday Night Live on the Alex Jones Show and the Alex Jones Network. I'm your host, Royce White. I hope you've enjoyed. I appreciate your viewership and listenership today and in the future. And the future is 7 a.m. tomorrow morning, Free People Radio on all social media channels. The White House with my great friend, Professor Penn. We'll see you next time. God bless you all. God bless America.
America is now 250 years old. July 4th isn't about delicious cheeseburgers and fireworks, though I love them so much. It's about, what does America stand for? The globalists cannot have our country survive. They want transhumanism. They want the Great Reset. They want the New World Order. That's why they demonize America. That's why they pay the NBA and the NFL to take a knee during the anthem and push all this communist Chinese garbage. Because what America stands for is antithetical to what they're doing. So, when you go to thealexjonesshow.com, we have a whole summer line that just rolled out. We'll show you some of these designs. And most of them, I came up with the concepts. I'm pretty proud of it. I think this is a badass shirt. It's the Betsy Ross flag. And it says, Rebel Scum Since 1776. And the designs just get better from there. And they fund the Second American Revolution happening right now. Because our Revolutionary War never really ended. We're just one continued arc. The flower of the Renaissance, challenging totalitarians and authoritarian scum. Because in truth, they're the scum, we are the future, and we are winning. You wanted 1980-style wife beaters? We got a whole bunch of them with great slogans like, less 1984,
More 1776. Got another great shirt, Make Orwell Fiction Again, and so much more at thealexjonesstore.com. And I got to tell you, this fabric, how light it is, how good it feels. I asked the folks at Bigley, can we have some dress shirts? And I sent them an example. This is even better than the shirt I bought that was similar to it. This is awesome. This shirt is so light. It's so great in the summer. Get yours now along with dozens of new designs and so much more at thealexjonesstore.com.